Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. It's a great word. Thanks be to God who gives us instruction, who gives us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. And, you know, the word that God gave me this morning is be exalted, O God, above the heavens and glory above the earth. God is exalted today and every day because we would not be here without his divine majesty. So thanks be to God who gave us life, who gave us everything we need and more than we could ever ask for or think. So thank you, Father God, for this you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it, gracious God. We ask you to cover us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. Lord God, I ask that this word permeates minds, hearts, and spirits. Lord God, that those that are listening will get a word that touches their heart, that touches their mind, and that touches their spirit. Father God, I pray you increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For Father God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my savior. You are my friend. You are my everything, Father, my disciplinarian, and the one that covers me in love. Lord God, I ask you to continue guiding me and leading me in the way that you want me to go. Lord, remove self and put in your Holy Spirit. Remove doubt and put in faith that all things are working for my good. Precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, again, I lift this word, Lord God, and ask you to guide it to the hearts that need to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. You know, on Friday, we read actually Friday and Saturday's words, but there was a life question that I wanted to come to hit upon this morning before we get into our Sunday word. And it says this: what does it mean to do spiritual battle? We are all in a fight. We are all in a fight for salvation. We're in a fight for mankind's souls. And so we are fighting a spiritual battle, whether we know it or not. You know, we see things going on in homes and places, and we're like, what in the world is going on with this people? What's going on with these children? What's going on? You know, as I spoke on a show previously, in a school in the district where I live, the first day of school was a stabbing in the school. It's like, what in the world? And then we wonder why our children are misbehaving and acting badly. It's because we as adults have acted badly. In New York City, a hostess gets attacked because they just say, yeah, we need to see a vaccination card, because that is the law in New York, that you must be vaccinated to eat on the inside of restaurants. It's the law. They were doing their job and was attacked. Banker gets attacked in another New York location because he asked the customer to put on a mask. And the customer spews racist epithets at him as well as beats him up. And then you find out prison guard. We wonder why our children behave badly because adults behave badly. Our children watched on January 6th our insurrection. Because believe me, when you have people say, well, you need to read the Constitution, I have. Because I had to take a test. Because it's the law in my state that you have to pass the Constitution test. The state Constitution as well as the federal Constitution to read it. And I say that we have legislators that need to read the Constitution. But that's not what this show is about. It's about the fact that we are all in a spiritual battle. We are battling for our souls. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word tells us that. Principalities and darkness and things that we don't understand. Because we still have to remember every day that a third of heaven came with the devil. When Lucifer fell, a third fell with him. This is no joke, family. Demons exist. Fallen angels exist. And they are not here to love on us. They are here to destroy us because they cannot handle the fact we have grace. Many didn't know what they were doing. They followed. Just like here, we have people that follow and have no idea what they're following. They don't know they're following an insurrection of heaven, just like folks didn't know they were following an insurrection on earth. We've got to trust God and exalt his name. We get caught up in exalting people and not in exalting God. You ask somebody, what did the latest star say? And they can tell you everything. But you ask them, what does the Bible say? And they look at you with deer in the headlight eyes. And believe me, deer in the headlight eyes are scary. When you're driving down a darkened road and all you see is these two gold eyes looking at you, it's a freak out. I had a deer in my front yard the other night. As my godniece and I were coming down the driveway, and I told her, I pointed out the eyes in the dark, and I said, that's deer laying over there. And then she looked, she says, oh, it's two of them. You know, my yard seems to be a deer haven. They like it. And now I have a stray cat that has decided that he likes my yard too. And I think he has decided to live underneath my deck. So, yeah, I am an animal magnet. But anyway, and we all know Bunny. Bunny comes and visits every now and again when we are doing the blocky. Bob's in front just to let me know he's still around. But let's get into the word. And it says this, what does it mean to do spiritual battle? And this is coming from our 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 7 word on Friday. And, you know, one of the things it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And then it goes on to say, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. And this is what it says, the conflict within you between the flesh and the spirit is a form of spiritual warfare. And you win much of the battle just by realizing that the struggle exists. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 teaches, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Again, I'm saying it, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the kingdom, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience and being ready to punish all disobedience when you when your obedience is fulfilled. And it goes on to tell us, sin is still a powerful force, but it can no longer control you unless you allow it to do so. And you are called to do battle against it. However, this is a winnable war. You are not doomed to failure. And to believe otherwise is to remain in needless, painful bondage. That breaks the heart of the Lord and grieves the spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30. And it says, the truth is, you cannot wander too far, fail too many times, or see Christ's forgiveness. When you repent and turn to him, he restores you to fellowship as though nothing had ever happened. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, despite his boast to remain faithful. Yet the Lord forgave him and made him a powerful leader in the early church. Peter had learned his lesson well, though he surely experienced other failures and setbacks. Excuse me. He knew that his Savior remained forever at his side, ready to forgive. What did Jesus say? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And what did he do? Made him a foundation of the church. Even after denial. But the Father forgives and he takes away our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, notice what an older and wiser Peter had to say about God's grace. His divine power has given to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly given and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we're going to go really quick over to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, says this. But let me go back up to verse number 1. It says this. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this is dealing with faithfulness, being faithful. And then as we continue, Dr. Stanley says, you are on an ever upward climb to holiness, set apart for God's purposes, as you learn to say no to the power of sin and to rest in his grace. You are made free to obey with renewed vigor and understanding. It is imperative to grasp the obedience is always a choice. You decide whether you will yield to God and so become more like Christ. And again, I just go ahead and say that word, obedience is better than sacrifice. And as we continue, it says this, you have a great potential to live free and holy through Jesus Christ, but God, will never force you to do what he desires, yet he longs for you to turn to him in every spiritual conflict, acknowledge your weakness, and ask for his power to say no. We got to learn to say no to our children. We got to learn to say no to the world, no to the things that the enemy throws at you. You know, I am on a fast. And it is a no buying shoes or clothes or any material thing to add to other material things. So no clothes, no shoes, no purses, none of that stuff. Just necessities, medicine, water, those kind of things. Because I live on the well, so I drink water that's bottled. The bottom line is, I gave up some stuff. And so I'm in the store yesterday to get something that I needed actually. And there's these cute, really, really cute sundresses. I'm like, oh, I could use those for church. Now, understand, I just have said, Lord, I need to go on a fast because I got to downsize some things, go more minimalistic. And I just said it, just prayed about it and decided and prayed and asked God, what do I needed to do? And I said, you know, fast from some things, get rid of some things. And then as I'm thinking all this, just said I'm doing this stuff. And then it hit me. You're in a spiritual battle right now because the flesh was like, ooh. And, you know, it's like, ooh, put it up. It's like, ooh, yeah, that's the right length because I'm a kind of vertically challenged. And it wasn't too long. And, it, you know, it fit, you know, my frame. And I thought, oh, wow. And then I heard the voice of God. It says, didn't you just say you was giving this up? And it hit me. I was fighting a battle between flesh and spirit. Spirit won. I walked away from those dresses as fast as my little feet could take me because it was a test. Are you going to stay on it for your spirit? For you are talking to God about some things, and yet the enemy plays right in front of you. Something that, like, oh, wow. You know, you're just reading an article and all of a sudden a pair of shoes will come up and like, oh, those are so cute. Oh, and they're on sale. And, oh, they have the insole. Oh, they have, no, you don't need them. And I had to come to that realization. It's a fight for our souls. When we look around and you're like, wait a minute, you don't have room for the stuff you have. Why are you bringing something else into it? No, put that back. And that's what we got to learn to say, you don't need it. If you don't have cash for it and you can't afford it, put it back. Tear up them credit cards. Do what you need to do. Pay your tithes. Pay your bills. Move forward. Because you are not fighting a battle on your own. God is there with you. He is exalted. He is our God. And he is over the heavens and he is over the earth. He's over everything. And he will help you get through. You don't need another television. The Joneses got a 60-inch. Don't mean you need to get a 65, you know, that you can't afford. If you can't afford to pay cash, don't get it. I'm learning that. Thank you, Dave Ramsey. Thank you, Father God. And this is what it says. Are you tired of fighting a losing battle? Do you secretly feel like a failure? It's not true. And the sooner you learn to rejoice and grow in the reality of your identity to him and in him, the sooner you will experience the thrill of victory. Again, we are fighting not flesh and blood, family. We are fighting against principalities. We are fighting against darkness. We are fighting against fallen angels. The devil can't be everywhere like God. He has that. He does not have that power. But believe me, a third, remember this, which means that there is probably a spirit that is right there watching, waiting to trip you up, to put that dress in front of you that is just so cute. But there's an angel from heaven that's also saying, can you say you didn't want to do that? You got to listen to your angel, which is the Holy Spirit that's in each and every one of us. God has given us the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you received the Spirit of God, and it speaks to you. When you say, Lord, I will, you better do it, because the consequences can be horrific when you don't. Don't let anybody stress you out either. You got to move forward because you are men and women of God and children of God. And we got to walk the walk as we talk the talk. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your spirit. And, you know, I call myself emptying all these drawers, and I'm going to redesign and put things up. And all this stuff is looking at me that I took out. You know, I got bags and boxes and stuff. I'm like, wait a minute, Lord. It looks like I'm moving, and I'm not. I'm trying to organize, and instead I have created a big mess that I got to clean up. And that I got up because I wanted to do a garage sale. So all this stuff, God, they just put me on a shopping hiatus. It's like, no, you're not going to do any shopping. You are done. And I am, and I thank God for the grace that he has given me and his victory. Hallelujah, everlasting. And the word of God tells us, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. I try a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Can the church say amen? Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. And the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. And the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. And your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourges passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. But morning by morning, it will pass over, and by day and by night, it will be a terror just as out as to understand the report. For the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself in it. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, and he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. Now, therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bond be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined even upon the whole earth. Listen. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the cods when he has leveled its surface? Does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat and rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the split in its place? For he instructs him. In right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black human is not threshed with a threshing sled, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin. But the black human is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever. Break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellence in guidance. And it just says this, when the miller ends, Isaiah 28:28. Sometimes it feels as if God's hand is heavy upon you, as if he is refining and shifting you for some reason, known only to him. During these times, trials will grind at you from inside and out in seemingly unending process. Yet when such season lingers for you, look to Isaiah 28:28. Bread flour must be ground. We better read that. Bread flour must be ground. Therefore, he does not thrash it forever. God will not discipline you too much. He won't allow the process to destroy you. Rather, he knows just the amount of thrashing and milling that's required to make you especially effective for ministry. And the best news is it won't last forever. Just as the former, who is an expert in the possibilities of such grain of wheat, barley, or oats. God knows exactly how to develop you into the person he created you to be. Trust him. Soon enough, the refining will be over and the result will be delightful. Chapter 29, Isaiah. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add year to year, let peace come around, yet I will distress Ariel. There shall be happiness and sorrow, and it shall be to me as Ariel. I will encamp against you all around and will lay siege against you with a mount, and I will raise sedgeworks against you. You shall be brought down. You shall speak out of the ground. Your speech shall be low out of the dust. Your voice shall be like a medium out of the ground, and your speech shall be a whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of your foes shall be like fine dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones like chaff that passes away. Yet it shall be in an instant, suddenly, you will be punished by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. The multitude of all the nations who fight against Ariel, even all who fight against her in her fortress and distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams. And look, he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and look, he drinks, but he awakens, and indeed he is faint, and his soul still craves. So the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. Pause and wonder. Blind yourself and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to you who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And I'll read that again because I think I did not read it correctly. And it says this, verse 11. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. That's it. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people. And a couple of life lessons before we continue. We're going to actually go ahead and continue and finish up Isaiah, and then we'll go back to the life lessons. And it says there's a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord in their works in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the things made say to him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the things formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while till Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest? In the day that the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. Out of the obscurity and out of darkness, the humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, the scornful one is consumed, and all who watch for iniquity cut off. Who make a man an offender by a word, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words? Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands on his midst, my work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. What a word. Wow. Praise the Lord. In some life lessons from Isaiah 28:29, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Have you experienced, this is what Dr. Stanley says, have you experienced the wonderful counsel of God? Have you invited him to guide you to excellent places? He wants to lead you into a great future, but you must listen to his voice and obey his direction. You don't need that dress. Come on now. And you don't need those shoes. Isaiah 29:13. These people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. God not only isn't impressed with passionless prayers and dead devotion, he detests them. He has no interest in outward compliance, devoid of inward desire to please him. He wants us, not our words, deeds, or possessions. Can the church say amen? Every week you say the same thing by rote. There's no heart in it. There's no love of God in it. You're just standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down, bowing, sitting down. And there's nothing. You're just following the rules. But you don't know the Lord. We got to know God. He wants to know us personally. He wants to put his breath in us. He wants us to feel his spirit grow in us. He wants the light to shine in us. He wants us to be the best we can be. And as Isaiah 29:24 says, these also erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complain will learn doctrine. God disciplines us only to bring us to a better state than we had before. He uses adversity to teach us, because we tend to learn more in our valley experiences than on our mountaintops. And some of us are in the valley, but understand, one day you're going to climb that hill and be at the mountaintop. God has got you. He is the harness that's holding you and helping you up the mountain. We got to trust God in everything and know that he be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above the earth. We got to trust the Lord. In Psalms 108:1-6, which is our title lesson this morning, and it says this, oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Can you say it with me? Hallelujah. And our title for today is this, oh, be exalted. Say it with me, y'all. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Hallelujah, Father God, be exalted above heavens. And your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered, saved with your right hand, and hear me. I want salvation to continue in my life. I want to make it through the narrow gate. I want to lose the weight of sin So I'm not following the crowd. I'm going to the narrow gate where there's not a big line. I want to go where the Savior is. I want to seek his face. I want to sit at his feet. I want to learn from Jesus, who knows my name. Ooh, getting filled up this morning. And it says Proverbs 25:21-22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And I tell you, that is so hard. It's hard. But we got to do what's right. You got to forgive folks. It is so easy to walk around with all that weight on your shoulders. You're in pain all the time, because you have allowed the weight of sin to weigh you down, because you have not been able to forgive. We got to let stuff go, because it don't hurt the person you hate. It don't hurt the person you have not forgiven. They are going on about their life and about their business, and you walking around filled with hatefulness and hate in your heart. God does not want us to be hateful. He does not want us to be unforgiving. And I will never tell anybody to forgive someone that has hurt you badly. It's easy, because it is not. The only way you can do it is with God. It took me some years to forgive some folks that hurt me, that changed my livelihood and esteem, self-esteem. But you know what? God helped me get through. Nothing was taken. Maybe some pride. But you know what? It's all right. Because I'm doing fine. Because I forgave. But I understood as I got older, as I got through, that iron sharpens iron. God's got to take you through that valley. He's got to sharpen you before he moves you to the mountaintop to do what he has called you to do. And one of the things that he sharpens you with is forgiveness. Anybody who's hurt someone, you know who you are. But when they forgive you, God takes care of it all. Let it go, family. Shake off that foolishness. Shake off the unforgiveness in your heart. Shake it off. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard for that spirit not to try to attach itself back to you. When you see that person, when you have to interact with that person, when that person comes into your sphere and into your group and is a part of a group of friends that you have, and you have to deal with them again. That flesh tries to sneak in. You know you can't stand him or her. You know you want to drop kick her. You know you want to beat her down. Because she did this, and this to you. Or he did this, that, and the other to you. But you know what? You got to look at that flesh and say, not today, devil. Not today, Satan. I forgive him. And you go over and give them a drink of water. And it says that if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will keep coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Give it up. You'll have witness is the Lord's. You ain't got to go walking around, I can't stand this, and da-da-da-da-da. All that's doing is hurting you. It ain't hurting them. Because most of the time, they could care less. They care less when they hurt you, and they care even less when they see you. But with your kindness, mess them up. Because they be nasty to them because they are nasty. They're expecting you to be hateful because they're hateful. They're expecting you to talk about them and cuss them out and do everything, because that's what they get joy out of that. But when you go and you're servant, and they're hungry and you feed them, they're thirsty and you give them something to drink, you are heaping coals upon them. And the Lord is going to reward you, because you are not doing anything bad. And the coals are coming from them to themselves, because they realize, I did all this stuff to hurt them, and they're still being kind to me. They're still being kind to me. What's their angle? No angle, except for they love God, and they have hearts that can forgive. We got to let stuff go, y'all. Shake it off and get over it. Let it go. And if God puts it in your heart to say, I need to talk to you, and just tell him, this is what you did. You may not have known the consequences of it, but these are the consequences that happened to me because of what you said or what you did. But I forgive you. And it's in the past because I'm blessed to ever ask for and more than I could ever need. Leave it alone. Let it go. Let it go. It's not going to hurt you anymore. You got to leave that stuff in the past and let it go because God is already fighting your battles for you. When we give a door and we allow the enemy to come in, he's going to come in, sit down, get the phone out. Hey, boo. Hey, boys, yeah, come on over. We got this. And you get not only this, but you get all his demons. They're all up in your place. And you wonder how this happened because you opened the door to unforgiveness. Let that mess go. And clean your house of them spirits that have come in and taken over. And say, God, give them rest in the pit that they will not come back. Oil up your house. Gotta oil it up and say, Lord, I'm giving my house belongs to you. And the enemy is not welcome. They are not welcome through not one door, not one shade, not one window. They are not welcome in my house. Get out. Get out. You're not welcome. You got to start speaking it. And let's look at this word. Because this word is a word that touches our hearts, and it gives us an understanding. And it tells us this, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you and godly jealousy, with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Are you hearing this? That's why we say find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that is preaching from the word of God. Enemy knows the word. He was an angel. His demons, the demons were angels. They know the word. Don't get it twisted. We have to be diligent, and we have to be careful, and we have to read it ourselves. Because there's those that can twist it around. And the next thing you know, you following false doctrine and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And it goes on to tell us, well, I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. It's I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preach the gospel of God to you free of charge. And I do. I teach and preach the gospel of God free of charge because that's my assignment. And Paul goes on to say, I robbed other churches taking wages from them to minister to you, taking wages from them to minister to you. I have not. And when I was present with you and in need. I was a burden to no one. For what I liked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied from being burdensome to you, and so I would keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Better be careful. There are so many false teachers out there, so many that are bastardizing the word of God and switching it and changing it. Come like gods to people. People start putting these folks on pedestals and forget God. They are going to church for the pastor, not for the word. But when the pastor gets moved, then all of a sudden, or the pastor falls, then the church falls. Because they weren't going for God, they were going for man. But you have churches that are telling people not to do the right thing, telling them lies, false prophecies, and folks are falling for it. How many people have died because they followed false teachings and false teachers have sent them to hell? Well, God said, God didn't say that mess, and you know he didn't say it, but you're so caught up in the music, you're so caught up in the spell that has been woven around you. Remember, the enemy uses music to take us down the wrong path. And then all of a sudden, everything that's being played sounds worthy, sounds so worldly. And then you know that the pastor's sleeping with the deacon's wife, and the deacon's fine with it because it's the pastor. Come on, y'all. We better get a clue. I don't know who that's for, but that is for somebody. We better know God to be a righteous church, to love him above everything. We got to love Jesus. We got to fall in love with the Father, because God is, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. Trust in God. And when God gives you that pain, it says, that's not for you. Run. Don't walk. God's spirit will come upon you to tell you, this is not right. This is not where you belong. Get up and go. Careful. Don't go everywhere just because Sister Susie's going there and left the church that was teaching her humility and humbleness and the true word of God, because she got mad at pastor who said, "So Susie, you can't keep frowning and treating people wrong that come through the door of the church. You can't put people in the back that don't belong in the back. You got to take every field of seats up in the front, and we'll work our way back." I know that that person didn't smell right, but that doesn't mean that you treat them wrong. I know that she wasn't dressed right, but that don't mean you treat her wrong. You got to be kind. I ain't caring what the pastor say. I'm out of here. Come tell me what to do. I don't need all that drama. I'm going over to church B because, you know, church A, pastor thinks she know everything, you know. And then get to church B. And you smooth the pastor and the first lady, and you get to be head usher. And then they see the heck that you are bringing into their church. And folks leaving, all of a sudden people that have been in their church for a long time are gone because she done see it, something nasty to them as they walk through the door. You know that dress is too short. Excuse me, but I'm just saying, too short. And, oh, honey, you need to pull them pants up. Sweetie, here's the trash can. You need to spit that gum out. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. You know, oh, no. You, that hair is just too big, and you blocking the view for the camera. So you need to, you can't sit there. You need to move over here. Oh, no, honey. I'm sorry. That hat just ain't doing it for that outfit. And you know you don't, you know you ain't looking right in that mess. You, what you trying to do? Star stuff up in here. You know, all of a sudden you wondering what changed in your congregation that your members, faithful members, finally came and told you. One of them faithful, instead of just leaving, said, let me tell you something, Pastor. That new usher you got that you done promoted over Sister Jane, who's been faithful, who's been here faithful every day, summer, winter, spring, fall, has never missed a Sunday of church, who's sweet and kind. You done pushed her out for that woman who has got folks running out the church. And then the pastor asked, but because she's fixing you dinner every Sunday, you so great. She a witch and you need to get her out of here. But sometimes it takes pastors a minute to get it. And then God will take the blinders off. And then they see her with the frown on the face. But then when they see, when she see you looking, she get to smiling. God sees it all. God will be exalted. And then when the pastor finally gives her a understanding, you're running my parishioners away with how you're talking to them. I'm going to have to set you down. Then that pastor's a junkyard dog. Just like the previous pastors were junkyard dogs. The previous pastors wasn't this and that church ain't this and that. So then now they're talking about church B as they go over to church C. Well, you know, I was a head usher at church A and church B. I'm going to be the head usher here too. Covenant spirit. That look at that little thing thinking she's all that because she's the head usher. I'm going to take that job. Evil spirits travel. Somebody tells you something negative about a church when you know good and well, because you may have attended that church. That may be where you found God again. And they start talking about it and how awful it is and how this and that. Look at that person, because you know they done been to your church. They done been to your old church. They done been to another church. They done been to another church. They done been to another church and another church and another church. And you know their calling is not evangelism. But they go on, and then all of a sudden here they come back to your church. And now your church is doing great. You got people in the pews. Folks are enjoying each other's company. It's been a wonderful service. You can feel the presence of God when you walk through the door. It is awesome. And all of a sudden, that spirit slithers back in of negativity, of backbiting, of conniving, of unfriendliness, ungodliness. First, they'll have no fruit of the spirit at all. But then they want to usher. You better not set you. Hopefully, the pastor has learned from the lesson before. Honey, that's not your calling. And if they leave again, that's just God shaking out the tare from the wheat. Let them go. I don't know where this lesson is going, but I don't know where God sent me here. But somewhere we got to understand God is going to be exalted in heaven and on earth. God will get the glory. And this is what the word says before we get out from Dr. Stanley in 2 Corinthians 11:3, as the serpent deceived Eve by its craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And Dr. Stanley tells us God wants us to enjoy an intimate relationship with him. That's the bottom line of our existence. He created us and redeemed us so that we might spend eternity with him. When we forget that, we forget everything. Forget everything. It's not about the Sister Susies. It's about God. Don't let anybody run you out of a church that you know that they are teaching the word of God and that it is a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't let that negative spirit try to get you out. Go someplace else. You got to pray out that nasty spirit and ask God to guide you in where he wants you to go. And this is the thing that 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 says too. Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Be not deceived. Cults and false religions through the ages have often begun with the interaction with beings who presented themselves as angels. Y'all caught that right. Cults and false religions through the ages have often begun out of interactions with beings who presented themselves as angels. Demonic double agents can do a great deal of harm, and we must beware of them. Be careful. Be very careful. Everything that glitters is not gold. There are demons among us, but they know how to act like angels because that's where they came from. Be not deceived, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ask God to guide you and lead you and protect you. Ask Jesus to pour his blood upon you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, to put a hedge of protection around you and your family. Pray for God to intercede. And as we wrap it up this morning, I thank God for each and every one of you that is listening. And I say to you today, again, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, for God is in charge. And as our word says this morning, be exalted, O God, above the earth, and your glory above all. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered safe with your right hand. And hear me. And a word from our sister in Christ, as we get ready to wrap it up, and again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And our word this morning from our sister in Christ is this. Good morning. Through the wisdom, a house is built, and by its understanding, it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Have a blessed Sunday, family. And as always, a word from yesterday, blessings are sent to you this day. May your, and I'm going to say your Sunday, be filled with peace and love. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a moving forward, a wrap. And again, be careful where you sit on Sunday morning. Make sure God is in attendance. Have a great day. It's a wrap. Why? It's time to go to church. Love y'all. Be blessed.